Thank you, Jesus. Let's give God the glory. Come on. Do something a little different right now. I'm wrecked, but I'm a worshiper. That's where everything comes for me, like everything. If I want to get close, I just worship him. I actually believe we're all made to be his worshipers. It's interesting that Satan was the head worshiper in heaven. Because when you worship God, he just, intimacy comes. And then you acknowledge him in worship. And when you acknowledge the King of Glory, he changes you from the inside out. And as he changes you, you realize the greatness within you.
Come on, go there.
And when you realize the greatness within you, you just need more. You just got to have more. So I'm going to do something crazy this morning because it's crazy. But I just need to stay in worship. So I don't care. People think I'm crazy, but I can't sing. So, but I need you just to sing something with me.
Come on.
Ooh, I need you to sing. Ooh, man, it is, man. It's coming. Okay. I don't want to start it, but this is the break it. That's the thing in our weakness. He makes us strong. You know, hallelujah. 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 Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just sing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, just move in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, just tell them how much you love them. Hallelujah. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all our praise. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, expect something now. Come on, as you glorify him, come on. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. We're so quick to move on to things. We gotta recognize him. Come on, the person of the Holy Spirit wants to move here this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, there's people in this room being healed of back pain. I just sense it right now. Come on. Step into it as you worship him. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, when we glorify him. Oh, come on, hallelujah. Come on. Somebody with arthritis right now, test it. Arthritis right now. Come on, come on. Kevin Jackson said a word about a liver. Come on, come on. What's happening is we're touching heaven. Hallelujah. Come on. We're called to be aware of his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, reveal your face this morning. Hallelujah. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on, if you're feeling awkward, that means you're close to the breakthrough. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we just give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, let us stay in the attitude of worship, God, even today. Lord, we made it. We thank you for what you're doing today. Lord, I thank you that today's a new day. Lord, that we'd never be the same. But Lord, that wouldn't just be a cliche. Lord, what something just said, Lord, but we truly would desire to move forward. We truly say, Holy Spirit, take more of me. Take more of me this morning. Lord, come on. You guys, we're nothing without him. We're nothing without him. And once we realize that, our lives will be changed. We're nothing without him. Will you let him ignite you today? It's your choice. Come on, it's your choice. Come on, I know. We know that we know. There's something even happening this morning. I have never spoken a message that I felt so afraid to get in the way of the Lord. He wants to be recognized. He wants to be recognized. He wants a body to come together and actually recognize he's here. That he dwells with us. He walks with us. He wants to talk with you. The Holy Spirit wants relationship with you. He wants relationship with you. It's no longer living a life of an idea of Christianity. It's a living a life knowing that you know Jesus. Wow. If you've not met Jesus, you're not saved. The Word of God says he made disciples. He said, come and follow. If you're just living a life trying to live what Christianity is thought of, it's not real. You have to live a life of actually knowing him. He is crying out for relationship. If you do not know Jesus, and just that you know, it's not, I don't mean a vision, I just know you know when you know Jesus. Wow. You don't have to ask. If you have to ask somebody if you know Jesus, then you don't know him yet. Wow. It doesn't matter if you think you've known him for 40 years, it means you don't know him. Because when you have a relationship with Jesus, you know him. Wow. You know him. I got wrecked this week, I heard something. So often we talk and we say we know so much, right? But sometimes we just need to actually stop and process what he did at the cross. But wait, what he did before the cross. So we don't realize, I realized but I didn't process something. Jesus, when did Jesus leave heaven to come here? We always just think of his ministry. He left heaven, his prized possession, Jesus. When the Holy Spirit came over Mary, he left heaven. Process it for a second. Do you know how important you are? I think it's 1 Peter 1:12. It basically says that. I gotta find this. No. Yes. Is it 1 Peter? Shoot. Thank you, Lord. The verse about the angels are basically they're waiting. They're in awe of us. They're in awe of us. To them that is revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have been preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Wow. The angels are in awe of the fact that Jesus left heaven for us. He didn't just leave heaven. He left and gave up who he is in God, in a sense. He had to be able to sin. But he got surrendered by the Holy Spirit. He learned to surrender himself to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. If you don't know Jesus, then you need to process that. If you've not met Jesus. And it just starts there. It just starts there. Oh, you guys. He just creates a hunger. Come on. I got Ben right in the front row. Praise God. He's hungry. Oh, he's hungry. A lot of people talk about people like Ben's afterwards and be like, oh, he's a little too zealous. He's too little too loud. He's too childlike. He's too crazy. He's too zeal. Forgive us, Lord. Let us be more zealous and crazy. Ben, don't take offense, but somebody came to me and he's okay with this because I know Ben. But they said something like, man, I don't like that. It wasn't bad. They just didn't know. They're like, dude, that guy's a little crazy. Is he okay? I said, I looked at him straight and it came out of my mouth like this. I said, hey, did you know last week how many people he just got saved? Dude, the conviction came. There was no more conversation. Don't look at what the vessel looks like. We miss so often. So often. That's why they miss Jesus, so many people. Right? I took off my watch for a reason. You know why? The Lord just told me. Don't live in time. Live in the reality of heaven, and that's eternity. Come on. That's good. I hear that? Sorry, I got that right then. I like it. I want to hear it again. He said, take your watch off and be in the time of heaven, which is the time of eternity. There's no time in heaven. God, you're so good. Lord, I just pray right now that hunger would come in this place. The gift of hunger. I've been crying out for more. Hunger, God. Because there's something happening here. And it's just not just windward. Because I don't want that. It's too small. It's happening all over the place. But the crazy thing is, to be truthful, it's been happening ever since Jesus came out of that tomb. And what's happening is, and it's happened, people go, oh, you study revival. It didn't just happen when in North America. It's happened through history. It's when people surrender. Wow. Oh, is this, sorry. Somebody's shoes have blinking on them. I'm like, whoa. I thought I was seeing something there. sorry. No, we have to realize that it's just hunger creates revival. Revival is just normal Christianity. But if you're not hungry, you're not in normal Christianity. Right? If you're not hungry, you're not living a normal Christianity, which is revival. Because when we eat of his goodness, it always causes us to be more hungry. The Lord just got me on track here. John 17. It is one of the best chapters. It is. You should. See, hunger and zealousness comes from eating the word. Come on, and actually taking for what it says. And it says we're supposed to eat of him. Partake in him. Come to his banqueting table. I actually have all these verses, but I'm going where God says to go. I'm going to start on verse 20. It's awesome. Jesus has amazing prayers. Now, this is amazing because this is a documentation of actually Jesus' prayer. Now, if I want to learn to pray, or if some, we have to realize if it's in this book, which is actually just the Passion Translation, but Book of John, so it's the Bible. It's the same. Just in case you're on live stream right now, I'm not reading out of some other book. But we have to realize if it made it in here, he knew I was going to share it this morning. He knew from every time this word is read, every time you read it, he knew it was going to do something. It's alive. So if it made it in here, it's important. And I really like people say when it's in red, which it's in not in this one, but when, you know what I mean? When Jesus spoke it, we better really look at it. This is Jesus praying for us, actually. And I ask not only for these disciples, but also for those who will one day believe in me through their message. Come on, that's us. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. Go home, man. That's all you need, really. Wow. So if we got that, Jesus is praying for you that are sitting right here. He literally is. The coolest thing is even how it's written, he's praying, saying he knows you. He says, I pray for them all to be joined together as one. Even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. You can't separate the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are now, they're all three of a Godhead. And I might get to it later. About something about that. I pray for them to become one with us. Well, I just beat the other part. Oh, isn't the word alive? It is. I pray for them to become one with us. Who here feels that they're one with God? Come on. Come on. That's a big statement. Come on. I want more. I constantly say, Lord, take more of me. Come on, take more of me. Take more of me, God. Take more of me today. so the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I've given them. Oh my. The glory of God. You do not need to wait till you die to experience the glory of God. You know what? We touched a little bit of the glory of God. I don't know what everyone was doing back there, but I know up here there was something different. There was something different. And it wasn't just a different song. It's because there's an awakening. Because we are believing and praying for an awakening. Lord, we just declare an awakening here, God. Lord, we declare, God, an awakening of your spirit in this house and in our lives today, God. Lord, awaken me to realize that I am nothing without you, God. That I want to fully surrender to the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, awaken me. Awaken to me. Oh, I'm going to jump here for a second. I was reading something the other day, and I went and looked it up. I find it in Scripture too. One of the greatest ways to stay hungry is to realize where you're getting deceived. And the number one way a Christian gets deceived is that when we think we've already attained. When we do not become hungry anymore. I'm trying. Oh, man. Oh, for those, Luke 1:53, for those who are hungry for him will always be filled. This is Passion Translation. But the smug and self-satisfied, he will send away empty. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. I like it. We need laughter. But before I even hit too much of these points, I want to make sure we start somewhere. There's a core value in this house which I'm preaching out of and sharing out of, is that's the goodness of God. And God is good. And so when we challenge, and I'm taking this message all week, I'm like, God, how do you preach a message you just want more of? Like when it only opens up more. Because if I think I've attained, then I'm screwed. It's true.
And I'm screwed.
And so then the goodness of God is so good. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. So. Okay, God. No, but from, you know what? Okay. Laugh, I don't, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, God. No, for real, though. I just really feel that's the sense of God's heart, because his goodness brings us to repentance. His goodness makes us hungry. When I want my kid to grow in something, I'll tell him where he's making a mistake, but I love him so much. My kid, Elisha, started soccer. Not that I know anything about soccer, but if he does something, I'm going to tell him. Not because I'm mad at him, because I want him to get better, because I know he has a passion to be a good soccer player. So just remember that as I go along, because it is a challenging message. But it comes out of the spirit of the goodness of God, that God is good and he's excited and he's your biggest cheerleader. And that heaven is excited. I constantly, honestly, when we push through in my own life, I have such a revelation of the goodness of God, and I see like heaven crying, getting so excited. The angels around you, there's angels around people. I better be careful here, but there is. And they're bored. No, they are. They're bored unless you start doing something.
Wow. Whoa. Who's ready on that?
Am I closer? Oh, yes. Come on. Yeah. No, the words we speak. Michael just spoke out. The words we speak, they're listening. Come on, we know, we've taught so much in this church, but the devil only has the power you give him. So your words are releasing power. You're ambassadors. The word says you're an ambassador. When God put the Spirit in you, he's actually given you the free will to make choices and do stuff. But if you surrender to him, you're going to do what he wants you to do. But without that, you're probably not going to do too well. You're not. But the cool thing is with God, that he's always waiting for you to come back. It says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a person. I'll preach another day on the Holy Spirit. I so wanted to preach this message just on the Holy Spirit today. The Lord told me not to. He says, preach on hunger. But you can actually grieve him. The Holy Spirit is a person that you can grieve. And that grieving is just when you don't recognize he's there. You just got to stay hungry. When you, anyone married knows how this works. Because it's interesting. If I come home and I pretty well ignore my wife, like just whatever, yeah, ignore her, whatever, you know, cause that famous, I don't know if I get it, but the word disconnect, the scariest word I ever hear in my married life. It's like, oh, I'm in trouble. No, it's good, right? No, for real. But that's what happens. We get disconnect. That's the best word. And what happens is then you live life, and then the next day, it's a lot easier to be disconnected. Yeah. Just because of how we are. We're very good at self-protection. And that's the same way it works with the Holy Spirit. Because anyone knows that as married, it's a lot harder 3 days later when you've had built more disconnect. You have to sometimes work through something. Right? But the thing is, and the biggest work through is the fact that the enemy's lied to you, because usually you're both actually longing to connect. But the enemy's constantly telling you lies, but the other person to keep a wall built up. That's exactly how it works with you and the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit actually waits constantly waiting for you just to be aware of him. He doesn't need you. He already, the cross did it. You're forgiven. He's open access constantly. It's up to you to decide if you can come to him or not. It's up to you. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Wow. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Except your choice. But that verse is still right because you're still actually connected. You just don't know it. It's your awareness. But hunger changes that. It's interesting, as a Christian, being hungry is different. Getting to become hungry is different than in the natural. In the natural, you, if you don't eat, you get hungry. In the kingdom of God, you get hungry by eating. You eat the hunger you get. I'm going to try to find a verse for you guys here. I got so many verses. That's so good. Hungry and thirsty. Oh, come on. Well, I'm going to talk about, keep going there, but taste and see the Lord is good, right? God, you're good. Oh, Jesus. Oh, this is a Bill Johnson right here. So I love to say I came up with this revelation. But as Christians, especially even charismatic Christians, believe it or not us in here, but somewhere else, they call their frustration with trying to become hungry. It's not. I'll take this. It's actually unbelief. Bill Johnson. So get mad at him if you don't like it. So he says, I'm going to read it again. Often people call their frustration for need of more. They call that hunger. But it's actually unbelief. Because you can always have access to them. Thank you, Bill Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Come on. And it comes, if you stay in a place of thankfulness, you'll continue to stay hungry. See, it's a... Again, I've taken stuff, I've studied tons of different people, so I don't know who this all came from. It's from the Holy Spirit, because it all came from him in the first place. But, so thankfulness, if you stay thankful for where God has brought you, and you eat of his goodness... And you eat of his fruit, it causes you to get, and you're thankful, you to stay hungry, you're thankful for where you've gotten to. Because you always want to stay in an attitude of thankfulness. So you're eating the goodness, and you say, thank you, God. But there's something about the goodness of God that causes you, which we know it's because of how great he is that it causes you to long for more. Even though it's the weird, as a believer, it's the contention. Because it brings you a place of satisfaction, but that satisfaction brings you to a place of more hunger.
Oh, wow.
Because the more you hunger and you actually taste him, you realize how good he is and how much more he has. Come on, for all of eternity, we're going to eat of him and learn about him. We got to, hunger is a sign of actual spiritual maturity. Deuteronomy 8:3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, or did your fathers know, that he might make you know that the man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord Jesus, mouth of the Lord. Matthew 4:4, Jesus' words. He answered, the scripture says, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found on every word which constantly goes forth with God's mouth. I love this. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument because they've been possessed by the Holy Spirit. When you stop seeking him, it becomes harder and he builds resistance, just like I said, in a marriage. So Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that you commune with him. You guys, we have, I bring this up all the time, just because, not in a prideful way, but we have found something in Scripture as Pentecostal charismatics, and we have to declare it in love. Not declare it in offense. But we have the will of the Father, and his will is to heal today. His will is to touch us. His will is to have us get his heart. You don't have to pray, Lord, if it's your will, let it be done. He already said that. It's actually one of the hardest things. I'd be careful with life. But I mean it. I just meet with believers, and it's like God wants to heal. And actually, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth or something. He said it's an insult to ask God for his will, if he's already told you what his will is. We have to realize that. But, see, when we get hungry, we get crazy, in a good way, because we start looking like Jesus. I'm just going to jump on something here. You know John 2:17, 21:7, I mean. Sorry, John 21:7. If you could throw that up. Lord spoke to me something about this. You guys all know Peter, right? So he hung around Jesus and he started getting radical. These guys are radical guys, the disciples. You know what I love about, if you study with the disciples, they were probably, most people say they were younger than Jesus, right? You guys know that? They're younger, so they probably were in their 20s. And you know what's so crazy is? I just love breaking down hierarchical stuff in the church. Mindsets. Did you know that Jesus called all these 20-year-olds apostles? What changed? Nothing changed. Why can't mindsets? Because we've actually put limits. Because instead of living on function, we live off of hierarchy and put titles on people. They were functioning as apostles, so he called them apostles. Actually, the crazy thing was, they really weren't functioning as apostles when he called them apostles. He actually wasn't scared. He was actually not scared to call them what they were always to become. Because he wasn't like, whoa, you're an apostle. Sorry, this is just me. I just get tired of the church making the fivefold ministry look like where everyone needs to get to. I love Chris Fulton. He says the fivefold ministry is those ones. Those are the equippers. They're handing out the bats. We've got it wrong. If you're not called to be in that place, don't be, because you get to go play and play the game. Come on, I like that. Oh, I love it. I feel his joy on me. Back to John 21, verse 7. Peter. I just love Peter. Maybe it's because people always give me words about Peter. But he was crazy. Oh, I just want to throw this in here. I love it. This is my interpretation, and this is what I felt with the Holy Spirit once. Well, more than once. But you know that whole story where when Peter, when Jesus told him to get behind him, Peter? Have you ever thought, you got a bunch of 20-year-olds? I don't know. I know how my friends and I hang out, and we love Jesus. We're pretty fun. Now, that was a serious moment in a sense when he said, get behind me, Satan. But I don't think it was like, I personally don't see it. The Lord showed me. It's not as like we see it. It's like, get behind me, Satan, you dumb beer. No. It was like, if I'm with my friends, and he said something that was dumb, it's like, dude, like Jesus loved Peter. Do you get that, right? It wasn't like this, oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure there was many other times Jesus said stuff like that to these guys. Like, think about it. This is the fun of getting to know Jesus. Because he's not as religious as we all are.
Oh, wow.
No. He's not. Jesus would have been fun. Because I've hung out with him. I don't think he changed. He says he never changes.
Wow.
Oh, man. I think part of... Oh, people get all... I was watching Catherine Coleman last night. I love it because she's like, people are getting slain in the spirit. And I love it because so much of what happens, of what Jesus does, offends the people, right? Don't you think God's fun?
Yeah, come on.
He could have made it way easier for us. He could have been like, yeah, they'd make him stand stronger. I don't know, right?
Wow.
It's a joke. Instead of falling. But you know what I'm saying? And like, we have fed. I love hearing Charlie Robinson. If you don't know, he spoke last conference, a father to me. He's like, he gets so much offense because people have gold teeth in their mouths. I don't want to go off there, but it's so funny because the biggest leaders that have ever got that in his meetings that are offended, we usually end up getting gold teeth. And then they don't know what to do. We have to be careful. Oh, I just feel this. We have to be careful to say something, but we have to stop judging. No, we do. We have to. Go home and pray about it before we decide that something's not God.
Wow.
Like, there's things that are completely anti-God that we know it's against. If it's against Scripture, it's against Scripture. But there's a lot of things that we think is anti-God where it's just like, maybe we were in the wrong attitude.
Yeah, that's right. I've been there.
Come on.
No, for real. We're too quick to judge. I actually feel, and I've been hearing from others, that there's even alignment in the prophetic movement because... We so often, when you're used to living a prophetic lifestyle, we actually stop praying about things. Because our first response is, my God, oh, that must be God. And then we wonder why it didn't work.
Wow.
Doesn't matter how great you are. Like, I know Ben has too, but I know people, you listen to people, he's one of the greater prophets that have lived in our day, it was Bob Jones. He'll tell you the same thing. It's not, you don't become perfect. You're not perfect. We don't hear perfect, we hear in part. So we have to be careful. People always ask me, so what do you think about that? Well, I'll tell you my opinion. I'm not saying it's God, though. Because I don't want to be the judge and the jury. It's not my job. We so often are the judge and jury for people, and that's those are those words coming out. So I'm going to say something fun, because it's getting down right now. So back to Peter.
I'm happy.
Oh, man. I know. Yeah. Justin saw his vision of this morning over me, and it's like this. And what was it? The spear coming down or something? I'm like, ooh. From heaven, though. From heaven. So it was a good spear. But John 21:7. So you got Peter. So remember, Peter's the one that tried to walk on water. And he did for a bit. We bash him because he fell, but at least he tried. No one else did.
Yeah, come on.
I'd rather err on the side of trying. Like, I would love to, can't wait till we get to heaven. I'd love to ask Peter and talk to Jesus about, well, I'll ask Jesus now, but ask him, see how, what it looked like after. I think he would have been talking for days. Peter, remember when he got in that water? Did you feel what it felt? Because, why do I say this? Is because you jumped to later that now Jesus has died, rose again. Peter is like, ran back to fishing because he doesn't know what else to do because he just rejected the Lord. He's broken. And that's a whole other series. If you ever process the difference between Judas and John, and Peter, the difference was that Peter accepted forgiveness and Judas didn't.
Whoa.
But John 2:21-7. So read, therefore the disciple whom Jesus... Oh, it's not up there. John 21:7. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is Lord. Now when Simon heard of that, it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he had removed it and plunged it in the sea. You go, why are we reading that? If you're a fisherman, which he was, and he was very seasoned, he wouldn't have wrapped his thing, he wouldn't have put back his cloak on to jump in the water. He thought he was going to run on water. Well, I've heard that actually a study, because they said they just wouldn't have done that back in the day. You wouldn't have put your, you would have maybe wrapped it, put it on your head or something, and get it over to the, you don't, why would you,
yeah,
why would you put your cloak back on there and then jump in the water?
Wow.
Now he's all wet. Come on.
Come on.
Well, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I love eating up the goodness of God. What are we eating? I'm just trying to give you keys to stay hungry, because I just want more too. So I want you to know I'm not the answer. But without being in pride, that is the one number one. The reason this message came across is because I've been asked and constantly asked, how do you stay hungry? I used to actually a few weeks ago, thought it, my number one reason was because of the encounter that changed my life. And I don't want to get into that. But the Lord told me, because when I started actually asking him, I said, Lord, what are the keys? Because it's not me. I could tell you that. It's not me. But what it has, and I said, was it because of the heavenly encounter I had? Is that what changed it? He says, no. It's the keys. It's because I've tried to stay hungry. Because I know I'm nothing. Because it's a miracle that I'm standing here talking right now, because how many years ago, what I would have been in university still, I was still scared. I would never get in front of people and speak. You ask my parents, they think it's still a miracle. You know what my parents' biggest miracle is? And some of you will say, well, I still don't understand what you're saying, Kevin. They say when I speak, I slow down. People that know me. See, I can laugh at that because God's good. He made me. It's true. Tell him to slow me down. Oh, man. We need to learn to partake with him every day. Hunger is greater. It's like hunger changes everything. Because when we think we know it, you guys, I want to get back on it. When we think we know all the answers, it deceives us. I was reading this week. I was asking the Lord to confirm a bunch of stuff. So John 9. Just a simple there. At the end, chapter 9, we'll start at verse 39. I think this is the chapter he had healed the blind. And Jesus said, I have come to judge those who think they see and make them blind, and those who are blind have come to make them see. And some of the separated ones, which is the Pharisees, the Passion Translation uses separate ones, were standing nearby and overheard these words. They interpreted Jesus and said, you mean to tell us that we are blind? And Jesus said, if you had acknowledged your blindness, then your sin would be removed. But now that you claim to see, your sin remains with you. If they would have just acknowledged that they couldn't see, they would have been set free. That's so the key, is to realize that we're nothing without him. You can't. It doesn't matter what you've done, you're never going to pay for your sins. I always tell people, because people come to me and they've screwed up big. They're like, oh, I've done so much. I said, the same blood forgave me. Oh, but you have never fallen like that. Doesn't matter. I was just as destined to hell without the saving blood of Jesus. We have to. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 40 years. We don't need to look down on anybody. Oh. Our lives should be drawing people to Jesus. Oh, just a story. I'll share. I'm going to share this. So Benny Hinn, I don't know if you like him or not. I love him because he's got Jesus in him. He does. Because I can feel it when he speaks. And I know the Lord, so I know him. Right? It helps, too, that I have people that have been mentored by him. But and he's actually a really good guy. Right? But if you hear his testimony, I'm not going to get much into it, but there's a part of it that I want to hit. Because God touched him, it was great, but his parents were against it completely, like harsh. His dad literally didn't want to talk to him. He was sneaking out, doing meetings. God was moving in signs and wonders. Literally, this out of nowhere, he's doing these meetings. People are getting healed, set free. People don't know that he was born with a stuttering problem, majorly. He couldn't, even with his own family, he would stutter. But it's like 6 months or something. He's doing these meetings, and he was always, like, keeping away from his parents because it was harsh. Like, He wasn't ashamed. They all knew what he believed. And they knew what was going on, but they thought it wasn't God. He goes and does this meeting. And guess what? The pastor put it in the newspaper. And his parents showed up. There's a reason I'm sharing this story. And his parents showed up, and Benny was freaked out. How often are we freaked out? We come to church, we're crazy, we're nuts, we're the charismatic nuts guys. But what happens with the people around us that we're not sure what they're for, what we're doing? Right? I'm speaking to myself. This is one of the biggest challenges. It's easy to go to the streets when no one knows me. I've done crazy things, but home is the hardest. My parents love this stuff now, but so Benny Hinn does this meeting. His parents are there, and then the miracles break out. And you have to remember, he speaks fluently now. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, he has no stuttering whatsoever, none. And so he's ministering. He finishes. He's freaked out. He doesn't want to go home. So he drives around. I think it was Toronto or Pittsburgh, one of those two. I always forget the two. Driving around. It's 2 a.m. He's freaked out. He's going to go home. He figures his parents are in bed. Oh, this just wrecks me, so I have to stay, don't get too emotional here. John says emotions are good, but...
Yeah, come on.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'll share first. So he comes in, and his parents are sitting there. And they said, Benny, tell us about your God.
Whoa.
He's real. Tell us. Your God is real.
Come on.
To me, there's nothing greater than people that know you, that can testify because of your life. Because they see the hunger, they see you going after Jesus. Doesn't matter if they agree with you or not, but they turn when they see that it's real. They got saved that day. They got saved, you guys. Like, that's real. Like, that's real. How often, and I'll be admitted, how often do we pray for people, and if they were here, we'd be going full out, declaring everything, but then they're somewhere else in a... Or you know them from way back, and they want prayer. Well, then you do the nice prayer sometimes, right? I'm just being honest. We go for it. It's not always, and we're always trying to get better. The more we're gripped by the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what people think. That's when true hunger is showing. It's when you're not worried about what anyone else thinks, because you're gripped by the Holy Spirit. Because all that matters. You guys, you look through history. People, we all do it because it's in the world too. Everyone wants to be the next famous person, da da da. But we always look at these mothers and fathers of the faith. And we're like, oh, if only we could be like that. Oh, God, make me the next Smith Wigglesworth. First of all, you don't want to be. You want to be the next you. But the key is, if you study almost every one of their history, a lot of them do great works. And then they get to a point in their ministry. Sometimes it happens at the beginning, but usually it happens a little later on, and then they realize something. There's more. They all talk about it. The ones that really did some crazy stuff, they get to a point, and people actually said, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth or one of them, for sure I know, they said, people came to them, they came and said, I need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they're like, you already are. No, I need the real power of God. You have churches, you minister everywhere, you see miracles. No, there's more. And that's when the change happens. Because when they seek, he always answers. But what I'm saying is, it's your choice. I'll be honest, I haven't got there yet. I'm pushing for it. And I'm experiencing more every day, and I'm eating of his goodness, and I want it, and I'm so hungry. I want to be so wrecked for Jesus. I want to be wrecked in the Holy Spirit. Come on, the power has to come back to the church. The power has to come. Oh, you guys, again, I said, I'm just straight from Catherine Coleman. I watched it last night. I love it. She's talking, and people are getting slain in the spirit, right? And she's like, I've seen thousands of people slain in the spirit all these years, and I still don't understand it fully, but it's not me. It's the Holy Ghost. Because, I love this. She's like, I can tell you the very place where Catherine Coleman died, the very hour, the very moment. Oh, man. I was gripped last night, man. I'm like, die, God! Let me die right now. I want that now, right? Oh, come on. And she says, if you come up here and you think you're going to get touched by Catherine Coleman, you're wrong. I got nothing. Oh, I love it. Oh, man, it wrecks me. I got only the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that can touch you today. We cannot, we do not need another touch from another man or a woman. We don't. You need a touch in your room. You need to know him. And knowing him is not 10 minutes a day. No, and guess what? Just because you work 40 hours, because we hear these testimonies, oh, they got to spend 8 hours a day in the glory, da, da, da. That's amazing. But the Holy Spirit comes to work with you. The Holy Spirit spends all the time with you. You can talk to him all day. All day. It's up to you. Jesus didn't just go sit around and soak. It's in Scripture. And he was the most possessed person by the Holy Spirit that I know of so far. He was doing the works of the kingdom. I always say, I love it. I love it when groups of hungry people start soaking, because I know that if it's really God, they're going to start ministering soon. They're going to start touching the lost. They're going to go out, because once you spend time with Jesus, he always starts telling you to go do something. He always does, because you're his hands, you're his feet. Once you get his heart, you wreck. You wreck for him. Come on. Oh, Lord. Hunger is a gift. Thank God for the gift constantly and never take credit for it, because it's a gift. Come on. As we draw to him, he always draws himself to us. John 6:44, the Passion Translation, the only way people come to me is by the Father who sent me. He pulls on their hearts to embrace me. And those who draw to me, I will certainly raise them up in the last day. Come on. It's the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:32. Stunned, they looked at each other and said, why didn't we recognize him? This is when, after Jesus' resurrection, and they're walking with those guys. Didn't our hearts burn with flames of holy passion while he walked beside me? Are we feeling those burning passions? When was the last time you spent with Jesus and you felt burning? These are all, I don't have time, but I was going to go into a pile of, I want to, one way to create holy hunger is go through Scripture. Just go find Scripture. Go online and find a bunch of, say, look up like supernatural events in the Bible, and then go search them all out. Just go search of all the heavenly, all the encounters people had with God, with Jesus. Because he's not a respecter of persons. Those are all invitations for you.
Wow, come on, go there.
Oh, you guys, God wants us to bring heaven to earth. He wants us to bring heaven to earth. We need to be spending time with him to make that happen. Because, you guys, I know so many people in this room. There's so many people in this room that have seen way more revival stuff than I've ever seen. There is incredible things in here. And I love what Ben was telling me earlier, reminding me. This is a generation from the oldest to youngest, right? So make sure you're not getting deceived that you're too old to keep getting hungrier. I say the nicest way. Instead of going, let's see the next generation rise up, I want you to do that too. But on the other hand, when you see young people rise up, and I believe this is a godly thing, it's in your heart, say, Lord, but I want more. Lord, I want to spend more time with you, and I want to know you, because first, I want to help raise this generation up, and second, I believe that you love me just as much. Because the more you get hungry, the more you're going to pour out anyways. And the more you're hungry, and the more you spend with Jesus, you realize he just wants to love on you. And it becomes easier and easier and easier. Oh, we should bring the band up. Yeah, bring the band up. Because if you don't stay hungry and feasting off the feast, you will start losing. It'll fade. But don't receive the lie of the enemy that says you can't get it back. You can have it in a moment. And you know what? I break off the lie. You don't have to go rebuild what you already did. Sometimes I go see a friend that I haven't seen. I have really close friends in the past, and they move or something, and then you see them again. I don't have to rebuild my friendship. Real friends, I meet with them, and it's like I never even missed them. So I have a couple of friends that I see very rarely. But we know each other. We know each other. So I don't have to go, oh, I have to pay penance because I haven't done. No, just step into it. Constantly just step into it.
So good.
Psalms 34:8, drink deeply of the pleasures of this God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to hide themselves in him. God, you're so good. I didn't hardly get anywhere, but that's okay. Because God, speaks. Come on, I'm just going to throw some things out here. Some of the keys to staying hungry, it has a whole message itself, which I'm working on, is speaking in tongues. Come on, that's a lost art in the church. Smith Wiggles just said, he said, I will not go with past 15 minutes without speaking in tongues. Oh, I got to read this. Right here. Here's a quote. I love these quotes. Smith Wigglesworth, God has privileged us in Christ Jesus to live above the ordinary human plane of life. Those who want to be ordinary and live on a lower plane can do so, but as for me, I will not. Will that be your prayer?
Yes, my prayer.
You will do more in 1 year if you're really filled with the Holy Ghost than you could do in 50 years apart from Him. Amy Simple McPherson, with God I can do all things. Come on. Something good is going to happen to you today. That's Oral Roberts says every day. Something good's going to happen today. Come on, that's a choice. What is your expectation in your life? No, for real, challenge yourself. Say, and it's okay to be real with the Holy Spirit. Some people right now, I could feel they're going, no, he doesn't want to encounter me. Like, yes, he does. Don't receive the lies. There's nothing. If there's something you feel is in the way, ask for forgiveness and move on. It's that simple. Do not let the enemy have any room in your life by lying. Come on, fire creates fire. Who are you connecting with? I love what's going on with the youth and young adults in this church. They spend time together. They're fire and they're getting more on fire because they're spending time with fire. Well, what are you eating? You become what you eat. Catherine Coleman, here we go. Right here. It's a good one. Never, absolutely never give up. Never give in no matter what. Fight it through and promise, I promise you something with all my heart, God will help you. Come on. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to somebody who isn't. Come on. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to read all of them because... Oh, man. Oh, I love this. Don't tell me how big your mountain is. Tell me how big your God is. Come on. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. You just want to stand up? Again. Oh, forget it. God, you're so good. Praise God. I didn't get through the 17th chapter, John 17. But I feel there's more to today than just a message. There's an impartation from Him, not from me, from Him. I want to do a call today. I don't care if you come up or don't come up. That's not what I'm worried about. But in your heart today, are you going to say, God, I want more. The more of the gospel. Come on, there's an invitation. Just a simple thing. Start realizing it. Do you have a relationship with the Father? Do you have a relationship with the Son? And do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? A lot of people don't even know that there is the Holy Spirit moving. That's how I was raised. I don't understand how to live without Him now. But you know what's so cool about the Godhead? Is you don't have to worry. Oh, it's a whole other topic. But they will constantly speak about each other. They will always constantly speak about each other. Because they're one. Because there's no fight. They're not worried. So the Holy Spirit comes.